ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः इन् मुण्डकोपनिषत् नौ वि आर् सीङ्ग् The ninth mantra. Yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyo. Yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyo. Yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha. Yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha. प्राणैश्चित्तम् सर्वमोतम् प्रजानाम् प्राणैश्चित्तम् सर्वमोतम् प्रजानाम् प्रजानाम् यस्मिन् विशुद्धे विभवत्येष आत्मा यस्मिन् विशुद्धे विभवत्येष आत्मा All these mantras The ones which we read last week, this one, all these mantras are very, very beautiful mantras. When I say beautiful mantras, all these verses repeatedly reveal the nature of Atma. When I say Atma, it is the all-pervasive reality. The absolute reality, which is also implied by the term Brahman, at the same time, there's no way of arriving at the reality as an object. The reality has to be arrived at only as the swarupam of the subject. That is why all the Upanishads repeatedly say one thing as guha, guha, vyomni, etc. It's available for knowledge only in one's own mind. Even though it's available for knowledge, it is not as an object of knowledge, but as the swarupam of the knower subject. Thereby, it's available as the very content of I. And so all this was repeatedly reveal the reality. Which means the reality has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature, swarupam, because reality is the abstract. There's no other way of arriving at the reality, being the abstract and subtlest, only in terms of its swarupam, it has to be arrived at. And when I say it has to be arrived in terms of its swarupam, it has to be arrived at in terms of its swarupam, in terms of the swarupam of one's own self also. Therefore, this mantra also repeats the same thing. Atma vibhavati. We see the last word. Vibhavatyesha atma. Vibhavatyesha atma. You break it. Vibhavati yeshaha atma. Vibhavati yeshaha atma. So yeshaha atma, this self, vibhavati. So what does the word Atma mean? We already know Apnoti Sarvam Iti Atma. So that which reaches everywhere, that which reaches everywhere means does not need to do the act of reaching. Reaching is not an action on the part of the Atma. Reaching also is the Swarupa of the Atma. When we say I reach, the physically reaching is action. Mentally reaching also is an action, sort of action, but worldly reaching also is an action. But here, reaching here means not by action or not by form, but it's only by nature. Therefore, that which is of the nature of reaching means that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness is Atma. So, the only reality is the nature of all pervasiveness. That is is why it is implied by the term Atma. So that Atma, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore, being all pervasive, it must obtain as the essential nature of every individual being also, as innermost essence of every individual also. That Atma, Upanishad says, Yeshaha. That is why Yeshaha means what? The third person singular pronoun, which means this. I'm not doing grammar class. Why I have to say Yeshaha means what? This. Whenever the word this Atma, it means, one should say it is a aparoksha Atma. Yeshaha Atma means this Atma. This Atma means what? Is all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual is what? Is the nearest self. It means aparoksha Atma. It means the existence of which, let's say aparoksha Atma, the reality, the existence of which need not be known through any other pramanam, because it is there as the very swarupam of the operator of the pramanam. Okay, therefore it is called aparoksha Atma. What is paroksha? Anything known through a pramanam is called paroksha vishaya. An object of knowledge known through a given means of knowledge is called paroksha vishayaha. So even when we understand Atma, Atma is the reality, reality is the Atma, Satyam, Jnanam, Brahma, etc. through the Shastram, then it's also paroksha jnanam only. Oh, reality is that which is the existence of the universe. Reality is that which is the knowledge, which is of the nature of knowledge. Reality is that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. We understand these meaning of these words through the Shastram, still it is a paroksha jnanam. Because the meaning is not yet clear for us. When? Because the reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual, arrived as the swarupam of the I, the one who uses the all means of knowledge, the user of means of knowledge, then it becomes what? Aparoksha jnanam. Therefore, aparokshaha atma, this means aparoksha atma. This reality obtaining as one's own nearest self, innermost essence, vibhavati. Where does it, shines? Where does it, it enjoys its glory? Where? We're going to see that now. And he says, that Atma, yeshaha anuhu, anuratma, yeshaha anuhu atma. The word anuhu literally means what? An atom. Minutest atom. A minutest particle is the anuhu. Yeshaha anu atma anuhu means atma is, the atma is not anuhu. In fact, atma is the knower of anuhu. So, just to say, Atma is the most abstract. Atma is the subtlest. There's nothing which is subtler than Atma. To say that, Atma is said to be Anuhu. Atma Anuhu. And this Atma Anuhu, the subtlest, most abstract reality, all pervasive reality Atma, Veditavyaha. Veditavya means what? It has to be discovered. It has to be known. But how can you know? Not by anything else. Chetasa Veditavyaha. It has to be learned, understood only through the mind. Which means when it is said, Atma has been understood through the mind, it does not mean Atma is has been understood as an object of knowledge of the thought. No. It has to be understood through the mind means you have to use the mind in order to discover Atma. Mind is the place where Atma is available for recognition. How Atma is available for recognition in the mind? Because Atma being the subtlest, Atma is available in a subtler instrument of knowledge, mind is the subtlest of the material aspects. Of all the subtle manifestations, mind is the subtlest of the objects, subtlest of the material products. There's nothing which is subtler than the mind among the material products. Mind being the subtlest of the material products. So it's called Sukshma Dravyam. And so the gross material objects are available for objectification for the mind. But Atma is not available for objectification for the mind. Atma is available. Atma has to be discovered as that which is the truth of the mind. Truth of the mind, not as an object of the mind. It is a truth of the knowledge. It is not object of the knowledge. It is the source of the manifestation of knowledge. It is not the object of manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, Swarupam of the manifestation of knowledge. The mind is the instrument of knowledge where thoughts arise. When the thoughts arise, there is manifestation of knowledge. And the source of manifestation of knowledge is Atma here. Therefore, if Atma can be recognized only where it is manifest, and the thoughts happen to, thoughts which constitute the mind happen to be the so manifesting medium, and only there we can recognize Atma being manifest. So once you recognize the manifestation of Atma in the thoughts, in the form of knowledge, and thereby you can also understand Atma as the very source of vritti jnanam. Not only as a source of vritti jnanam, not only as the source of knowledge, Atma can be recognized as the invariably present consciousness knowledge in all the variable thoughts, cognitions. That's why Chetasa Veditavyaha. You cannot go and discover Atma anywhere else. That is why mind has to be maintained, because there's no way of knowing anything without the mind. Therefore, there's no other way of discovering Atma also anywhere else other outside of the mind. Even though Atma is all pervasive, but Atma has to be recognized only in the mind as the truth of the mind, as the very existence of the mind. Therefore, Chetasa Veditavyaha, because this Atma is, now we can understand why it is Anuhu. If mind itself is subtle means inexplicably subtle, and the Atma obtaining as the very Swarupam of the thoughts, Swarupam of the mind, existence of the mind is much subtler. Therefore, this abstract reality Atma has to be discovered only through the mind as the truth of the mind. And in that, Yasmin Pranaha Panchadha Samvivesha. Okay, now we say Pranaha. Pranaha, this Pranaha actually literally means it's an oxygen, Pranavayu. But here Pranaha Panchadha. Okay, Pranaha. The pancha means five, you know very well. Pranaha samvivesha. Samvivesha, prana has entered. So how prana has entered here? Prana has entered. Where? What has entered? How it has entered? So it is said, panchada pranaha samvivesha. The prana has entered in fivefold forms. Fivefold, in the form of five functions. The only vital air has entered into the physical body in in the form of five functions. Governing five systems. You know well, very well what those systems are. Panchadha. Fivefold. Dha means fivefold. Pancha, five, dha, sort of five fold. Bahudha, many fold. The dha always implies fold. So the prana has entered in fivefold functions, Gama, fivefold functions, as governing all the systems, respiration, digestion, excretion, etc., all those five prana physiological functions. And the physical body, because of this entry of pranas in the form of five functions alone, the vital air has entered into the physical body, involving itself, governing five systems, five functions. That is how body becomes what? Alive. Body is live. Body has life. Body has sentiency because of this pranas only. Pancha pranas. Therefore, and his pranas could enter in the body also because of the blessing of consciousness. Therefore, the physical body, which is alive, sentient, because of the entry of vital air in the form of fivefold functions, governing five systems, and there again, yasmin pranaha panchada samvivesha pranaihi chittam sarvam otam prajanam. So prajanam chittam pranaihi sarvam otam. The word chittam literally means antahkaranam, same minded. First chetas, we use the word chetas. Now again, another word is coming here as chittam. Yeah. Prajanam chittam. Sarvam chittam prajanam chittam otam. So chittam means mind, and sarvam chittam means what? Not one thought, not few thoughts, the entire antahkaranam. The entire antahkaranam involved in all functions. You had to include ahankara, you had to include mind, you had to include intellect, you had to include memory also. That's why sarvam. Sarvam chittam, the entire antahkaranam. The entire antahkaranam, what does it do? Pervades the entire physical body. The entire physical body is pervaded by the mind. The otam, the word otam means pervaded. Mind pervades the body, but the mind is pervaded by consciousness. Mind is pervaded by consciousness. So that which inheres the mind pervades the mind. So prajanam chittam otam. So the mind of all beings entirely pervaded by consciousness, and the consciousness, the mind pervades the body. That is understood. Mind pervades the body, thereby the physiological functions are functional, thereby physical body also becomes alive. So what it says, pranaihi chittam sarvam otam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe vibhavatyeshah atma. It means, it doesn't say very many things elaborately. It basically, it says, the physical body is not mentioned, but it is understood. The body is alive because of the entry of physiological functions. And the physiological functions are possible because the body is pervaded by the chittam, conscious mind. And the mind is pervaded by consciousness. Therefore, in the mind alone, Atma has to be discovered, which is subtler than the mind. And that mind has to become what? The mind which is pervaded by consciousness must become pure. Only when it becomes pure, Vishuddhe Yasmin. Yasmin Vishuddhe. So, Yat Chittam Sarvotam, that Chittam, the mind which is pervaded by the consciousness, when it becomes pure, purified, vishuddhe, atma vibhavati, then atma is, atma shines there. There's never a time atma is not there. Always it is there. But when does it become revealed? When does it shine? Only, yes, vishuddhe. Only when the mind becomes pure, then atma shines. Which means, what does it mean by saying mind becoming pure? Vishuddhe atma bhavati. Avishuddhe. If it is does not become purified, then atma is present, but still it will not shine. What it means is, even though atma is always available for recognition as the very swarupa of the mind, how can mind exist? How can mind function? How can mind become sentient? How can mind be capable of keeping the prana's function? How can the mind be capable of making all the sense organs function? And how can the physical body be alive? All this is possible because mind is pervaded by consciousness. But for the pervasiveness of the conscious mind, no function is possible, no action is possible, no life in the body is possible. So physical body becomes alive because of the mind, conscious mind pervades the physical body. The physiological functions are possible because conscious mind pervades the body. The sense powers are functioning, perception is possible because conscious mind pervades them. The organs of actions become conscious, activities are possible because conscious mind pervades them. So conscious, sentient mind pervades everything. But how? Because mind is pervaded by consciousness. And that consciousness which pervades the mind, not it puts only the mind. The consciousness is all pervasive. Therefore, consciousness pervades the mind also. Therefore, the all-pervasive consciousness pervading the mind, through the mind, conscious mind pervades everything else also. And therefore, conscious reality, Atma, is available for recognition only in the mind. But the mind has to become pure. Vishuddhe. Only when the mind becomes pure, conscious Atma will be revealed to us. For it to become pure, what does it mean? That is why Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryadi. See, any disturbance, any emotion in any degree will disturb the easiness of mind. If we can pay attention to this problem of not allowing our mind to be disturbed by any external situation, very difficult. Mind is ready to get disturbed anytime. So, it not just likes and dislikes, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety. Of course, another simple, petty, mean things, jealousy, etc. So, all these, at least fear will be there. Insecurity will be there. All these emotions definitely rise because they're dominant in our subconscious. Helpless, uncontrollably, they do rise. And they do disturb the easiness of the mind. And then as long as mind is disturbed by these, mind is said to be impure mind. So if we take, Shastram gives a clue here. Yasmin vishuddhe atma prabhavati. Atma, easy for atma to become revealed, to see atma shining there, provided the mind is taken care of. Mind becomes pure. Which means these emotions should be resolved. Not absolutely you cannot resolve them. At least you have them relatively resolved. Then mind becomes pure. Atma vibhavati. Atma is shine. Atma shines. Atma is available for recognition. This is the meaning of this mantra. So lot of words have been supported here. Physical body is not mentioned. But still we have to, it is implied there. And mind being the only place of place where Atma is available for recognition, mind being the only place of where place of recognition of Atma. That is mentioned in all the Upanishads, they say, and here also it is made very clear. Yam yam lokam manasa sam vibhati vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kaman tasmadatmagyam hyarchayet bhuti kamaha. Yam yam lokam manasa sam vibhati vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kaman tasmadatmagyam hyarchayet bhuti kamaha. Repeat the mantra again. Are you all following? Yam yam lokam manasa sam vibhati vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kaman tasmad atmagyam hyarchayet bhuti kamaha. So this mantra does not talk about the nature of reality, Atma. I think Upanishad has presented enough number of mantras revealing, discussing the nature of the reality. And Upanishad has explicitly revealed the fact of recognizability of the Atma also. Atma is there, it is the nature of the Atma, and Atma is available for recognition only in the mind, and for which mind should be pure, that also has Atma, Upanishad revealed. Now what else can Upanishad do? He has given everything. Now Upanishad glorifies the Jnanam. Why? In fact, glorification of Jnanam is not directly done. If a wise person is glorified, the wise person is glorified because he has wisdom. And what is the wisdom? It is the knowledge of the reality. In fact, knowledge of the reality means knowledge of one's own self. The person for whom reality of the entire universe being the reality of one's own mind as one's own self, for whom reality, Atma Jnanam is what? Aparoksha Jnanam, one who has. Aparoksha Jnana means one who sees the truth as one's own self. And that person is that Jnanam is wisdom. One who has that wisdom is Jnani, the wise person. And he is glorified. A wise person is glorified, wisdom is glorified, which is a glorification of self-knowledge. So why Jnanam is glorified? So that people, at least, who will become inclined for Jnanam. See, interest in Jnanam, inclination for Jnanam, Shraddha in accomplishing Jnanam, and commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam is possible if a person repeatedly listens to the glorification of Jnanam. Therefore, Shastram now stopped talking about the Atma, now started talking about the knowledge of the Atma. He says, yam yam lokam manasa samvibhati vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman. So here, vishuddha sattvaha. Vishuddha sattvaha means, sattvam means mind. Vishuddha means purified. Vishuddham sattvam yasya saha vishuddha sattvaha. The one who has got his mind purified is said to be vishuddha sattvaha. So, who is the vishuddha sattvaha here? Not the one who has got his mind purified little, the one who has got his mind purified absolutely, totally. So the one who has got his mind purified totally is Vishuddha Sattvaha. You have to be very careful. Ashuddha Sattvaha, the impure minded, is supposed to live a life of Karma Yoga in order to become relatively pure minded. By living a life of Karma Yoga as a relatively pure minded person, then a person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. When he attains jnanam, when only after the attainment of knowledge, the person becomes absolutely pure minded. How first blessing the person has is what? In jnanam, he becomes free from the hold of the entire mind, all the emotions for good. All the emotions will resolve in the mind. They will not rise first of all. If at all they rise also, the person, jnani, will be objective towards the emotions, therefore he won't internalize the thoughts. Therefore he is absolutely pure minded. Because Shastra repeatedly says, mind can be disturbed. The pure minded is also a tranquil minded. Vishuddha Sattvaha is also Shanta Manaskaha. Vishuddha Sattvaha is Shanta Manaskaha. Shanta Manaskaha means peace, tranquil minded. Why? No disturbance. All the thoughts resolve for a wise person. How do they resolve? Because ajnanam goes first. In the wake of the jnanam, ajnanam goes. Ajnanam goes means what? Error in the perception of the self and the world will be corrected. When the error is corrected means there's a different perspective. When the perspective is different, there is no more, there's all the wrong notions about the self will be resolved. Ankara goes, kartrutvam goes, then bhoktrutvam goes. When the, all the notions also resolve. There's no more fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. All the problems resolve. The wrong notion caused problems. The wrong problem caused notions, all of them resolve. Once ajnanam goes, the problems caused by ajnanam resolve. Then this person need not attain happiness because happiness is nothing but fullness. Fullness is limitlessness, which the person recognizes the limitlessness being one's own sorupam. Because he is, the person is free from limitations, therefore person is free from what? All problems, no more limitations. When the identity is shifted from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to atma, then from the standpoint of atma, where are the limitations? The person is absolutely free from limitations. Therefore, he is effortlessly remaining one's own self. Itself is what? Reveling in fullness. Being oneself, remaining oneself is remaining in fullness, which is reveling in fullness. Then, naturally, there's no more inadequacy. Therefore, there cannot be any more binding desires also. The person is not dependent upon the fulfillment of desires for his happiness and security. Therefore, no more desires. If at all desires are there, they will be only for loka kalyanam, only for the welfare of the society. Therefore, there's no more binding desires. That person has no punyam and papam. Even if he performs a karma, only karma abhasa, because he has no kartrutvam, no more doership. The jnani, even if he performs karma, there's no notion, I am the doer. There's no notion, I am the enjoyer, because all wrong notions have gone. Therefore, the jnani's karma is a karma abhasaha, which does not attract any punya papa. Such a person, then his mind is what? Absolutely free from all disturbing emotions. No jealousy, no hatred, no anger, no insecurity, no fear of death, no fear of losing anything. No anxiety about getting something. Why? There is already fullness. what one needs to accomplish by enjoying anything, possessing anything, he already has as his own swarupam. Therefore, he is absolutely tranquil minded. Therefore, he is absolutely pure minded also. It's called absolute purity, absolute steadiness. Hacha Purush is called Vishuddha Sattvaha, Jnane. And he, Atma is ever pure. Atma need not become pure at all. The mind alone has to become pure. The mind becomes absolutely pure when the mind, when there's a discovery of the Swarupa of the mind. Therefore, this Jnani, who is a Vishuddha Sattvaha, absolutely pure minded, because of the vision of the Swarupa of one's own self. Such a person, Vishuddha Sattvaha, Yam Lokam Manasa Sam Vibhati. Such a Jnani, Yam Lokam Manasa Sam Vibhati. So, whatever loka, Jnani, Manasa Sam Vibhati. So, yam lokam, any loka, whichever loka, whatever loka, endenda ulagathai, whichever loka, whichever world, this person Jnani, sambibhati, the Jnani wishes. How? Just by sankalpa. Manasa means without doing anything physically, the Jnani thinks. For whose sake? Not for his, he says. Jnani does not want any loka. So whichever loka, whichever object, whatever thing a Jnani wishes, sambibhati manasa, sankalpayati, Jnani thinks in his mind for any disciple or for any disciple, any other person, third person. Yam lokam. Even the loka. Even Jnani does not need to go to any higher loka. He has already accomplished the absolute. He does not need swarga. He does not need to go any of the lokas. Jnani yam lokam manasa sambibhati. Whichever loka this Jnani wishes for other person, a third person, another person, he can be a devotee, he can be a disciple, he can be any stranger also if he has the punyam. Vibhati. And then, yams chakaman kamayate. Whatever desires, fulfillment of desires. Yams chakaman kamayate. Whatever Kaman means here sense objects. External objects of pleasures. Yan kaman kamayate. Kamayate desires. Whatever objects of pleasures are external objects, sense objects in the world, he desires. Desires means what? Jnani wishes. Jnani thinks, may this objects be available for this disciple. May this person get these objects. May this person get this world. Like that, whatever worlds the Jnani thinks mentally for other people, whatever objects of pleasures or objects of enjoyment, sense objects, the Jnani wishes for other people. Tam lokam jayate tan cha kaman. What a beautiful thing. Tam jayate. Definitely a disciple or the devotee or associate of a Jnani. Definitely, for whose sake the Jnani wishes, that person will definitely accomplishes. He wins that loka. He enjoys that loka. He will definitely have that object of pleasure. He will definitely have that external object of desire. When he'll get his desires fulfilled. So Jnani has to think in his mind, may this person get this result. Therefore, how is it possible? Because he's a Vishuddha Sattvaha, the absolutely pure-minded, tranquil-minded Jnani. And he is one with Ishvara. Even though he's physically, still he's enjoying, endowed with the physical body mansions complex. Swarupena, essentially he's non-different from Ishvara. Because he has that clear vision also. There's no expectation on the part of a Jnani. There's no anxiety on the part of the Jnani. Therefore, as a person of absolutely pure-minded, wholeheartedly, when he wishes, mentally he thinks, manasa samvibhati. Mentally he thinks, then it definitely it happens for the disciple, for whosoever sake he thinks he wishes, that person will definitely have that benefit. Because all jnanis, punyam and papam, jnani will not have papam. And a jnani, when he lives his life as a jnani, he has his punyam. If a jnani has papa karma also in his account, paradha karma, jnani is free from punya papam. So whoever criticizes jnani will have that papam. And whoever goes and falls at the feet of jnani, they can take jnani's punyam. You know, the shastram says, because jnani doesn't, is overflowing punyam for him. He exists of punyam. All his punyam has already culminated in the vision of Atma. He is absolutely pure-minded and he is reveling in the vision of fullness. Such a jnani, just by thinking, just by his thoughts, he can bless the people around him with anything they want, any desire they want. Righteous wish, he can help them fulfill their righteous wishes. Therefore, Upanishad gives a clue here. Atmagyam hi archayet bhuti kamaha. Bhuti means prosperity, wealth. Artha kamas, even the artha kama dharmas can be reduced to one word, bhutihi. So, wealth in any form, all forms of wealth, all forms of prosperity can be meant by one word, bhutihi. And bhuti kamaha, one who is desirous of wealth in any form, archayet, should worship, whom atmagyam, atmanam janati iti atmagyaha. The one who knows atma, atmanam janati yaha, saha atmagyaha. Atmagyaha means one who knows the atma, the jnani wise person. Atmagyam hi archayet. The other person, who should worship atmagyaha? Archayet, should worship. It's a ling. Archayati, archayet, should worship. Bhuti kamaha atmagyam archayet. The one who wishes, one who wants, one who is desirous of wealth in any form, prosperity in any form, such a person must worship the atmagyaha, the wise person. Then what happens? Then he can tap the grace of Bhagavan in the form of wise person. Thereby, wise person sankalpa is enough. Wise person need not do anything for you. Wise person thinks, wishes well, and that will happen. That is the, because he is absolutely pure minded. We all wish well for others. No, but Jnani's sankalpa will bless a person with anything that he wants to get if he wins the heart of a jnani. Therefore, Vishuddha Sattvaha Yam Yam Lokam Manasa Sambibhati Yanscha Kaman Manasa Kamayate Tam Tam Lokam Jayate Tamscha Kaman. Therefore, Asmat, therefore, Bhuti Kamaha Atmagyam Hi Archayet. So, Sambibhati means not that he wants him for himself. He mentally thinks for others. This is the what made this person, what enables a person to think mentally and bless people with whatever they want, whatever they want to get. That possibility is because of the absolute mental purity. Absolute mental purity is because of the knowledge of the self, and therefore the wise person is said to becomes a person who has to be worshipped. Knowledge makes an ordinary person who deserves worship. It is the glory of the jnanam. So yam yam lokam manasa samvibhati vishuddha sattvaha yan kaman kamayate tam tam lokam jayate tan kaman cha jayate tasmat therefore atmagyam hi archayet bhuti kamaha.